Welcome to the Killer Frogs, the podcast all about TCU athletics from the fans' point of view. My name is Sean Fouché, and this is episode 162 for Tuesday, September 21st of 2001. And on tonight's podcast, we've got Nick Howard. How you doing,
Hey,
Nick?
Hey, what's going on, everyone?
Oh, man, it's been a pretty nice week. It's a bye week, but it's been a pretty nice week. How's your week been?
It's been pretty smooth, you know. I can't complain.
Well, you're
smooth,
you're still
like
bringing
his voice.
Smooth,
that's
smooth.
Oh my God, that's
smooth.
What I was about to say, Shannon. Smooth like his voice.
You took the joke right out of my mouth, Shannon. And of course, that is TCU Hall of Famer Shannon Brazil. Hey, Shannon.
What's up, everybody? I'm coming with energy tonight. It is smooth week. It is us versus them. We got to get that skillet back, baby.
Yes, absolutely. I've got some chicken to fry up. We also have the boss, Ryan Zeller. Hey, Ryan.
Hey, everybody.
Do you have a good
week?
Yeah,
very excited to be past the bye week. Although, it is fun, actually, to have a weekend off and just get to sit back and watch all the other teams stress out.
It
you
is.
Know, there were some good games last weekend, and it was kind of nice to watch those nail biters when it's not your team. So
yeah, I enjoyed watching UT struggle with Rice for about 12 minutes. That was fun. And rounding out tonight's panel, everyone's favorite special guest, Jack Hesselbrock. Hey, Jack.
Yay.
Jack.
Hello, everybody. Good to be back on.
Well, it's good
Very
to have
glad
you.
To have you.
You know, you're always welcome. So tonight, we've got it's kind of a condensed one since we don't really have a game to discuss since it was a bye week or a game that we've played, I should say. We actually have a game to talk about. We'll talk about SMU here in just a minute. But to start us off tonight, Ryan, I think you've got some announcements.
I do. All right. I want to start off with Ice Cream Social. So for the last several years, we have sponsored, helped, whatever you want to call it, the TCU women's basketball team. And they have an ice cream social every year. Of course, we didn't get to have it last year, but they're bringing it back and it is free. And y'all, it is so much fun. First of all, they have it at the Stewart Family Courtside Club Room, which is in the Schollmeyer. And it's just a really kind of fancy area inside the basketball stadium that most people don't ever get to see unless it's a paid event or you're kind of a highfalutin person that gets to go down there. So it's an awesome opportunity to be able to see that special area and just get to know the girls and the coaches and their families. It's just a really fun night. They'll have a raffle and a bunch of ice cream, and it's obviously kid-friendly, and families come. So just tell your whole neighborhood, tell your neighbors, tell your family, bring everybody. It's a good time. So the details are September 26th, that's this Sunday, at 4 o'clock. And they do want you to RSVP. If you don't RSVP, it's no problems. They'd rather you show up than not show up. So these details can be found on Killer Frogs Facebook and Twitter for the RSVP email. Then we're going to go and kind of recap some of the games that we've had this last week. Unfortunately, soccer lost. Everybody so sad.
But that was a tough one.
It was, but you know what? That's okay. I mean, you can't win them all, and this was an extremely good Pepperdine team. So I feel like these moments, and especially with the soccer coaches, they're just going to learn from this, and it's going to make them better, obviously. So then also TCU this last week announced their NIL program, Scale to Succeed. They're doing some neat things that maybe some other schools aren't doing. So if you're a recruit or have a child who is looking at schools, really, really take a look at TCU. Their business program has adopted the NIL program, and then they're really going to teach these kids how to be good with money and their futures and their opportunities. So more on that later, but it's a pretty special thing that Coach Patterson and AD JD have put together with the business school.
Yeah, we were waiting to get a little bit more information about what TCU was going to do for the NIL before we actually covered it in the podcast. So now that that's kind of come down, I think we'll talk about that in a future episode.
And I think it almost deserves just a special episode as well, because it's pretty good.
Well, maybe we'll do it the Kansas week.
Yeah, you say that. We always kind of struggle with them sometimes. I can remember a few nail biters, but anyway, so that's all I've got today. So just come out to the Ice Cream Social, check out Riff Ram to go support soccer and the volleyball team. They have been having a lot of home matches lately and are looking pretty good. So.
Yeah, most definitely. So looks awesome. Like Nathan Hernandez is joining us this evening as well. So let's just get right into this. SMU, it's the battle for the Iron Skillet. It's the one game all TCU fans love to cringe over, and it is the one I think a lot of TCU fans are a little nervous about, given SMU's current team and our question marks at certain areas on both offense and defense. So let's get into this game and let's see. First off, Shannon, what do you want to see out of the Frogs coming out of the bye first quarter against SMU?
I want to see high energy. I want to see, you know, that they hadn't taken a week off per se. You know, I know they've been getting coached up. I know this is, you know, we get a chance to lick our wounds, get energy, I mean, get healthy, things of that nature. But man, I want them, once they come out of that field, hit that tunnel, I just want to see a bunch of energy, and I want to see them dominate those first two series. You know, it'd be good for defense to go three and out. It'd be good to have the offense march down the field and score. Like, that's what I want to see against a team like SMU, because I feel if we play down to the level we were talking about before, this makes me a little nervous off a bye, 11 o'clock game, and we're playing SMU. And so people know the story on how sometimes we feel we should just walk out on the field and dominate those guys. That's not the case. We should just dominate them. You know what I mean? So If I can just see that, then my mind can be set first quarter, and then we can just start having fun, because I know it's going to be a long day for them.
Yeah, it will be, hopefully, it will be a very long day for SMU. But Nick, going back to a couple of weeks when you and I were up in the press box watching that game against Cal, there were a lot of issues with getting this defense kind of settled, and it still didn't feel like it quite gelled, even after halftime corrections and going in deep into that game. How do you think the defense is going to respond coming off the bye week against an SMU team that, A, doesn't seem, kind of like what Shannon was talking about, they don't seem to be afraid of TCU anymore, and they have shown that they will throw the ball all over the field?
I think it's going to have to start with that defensive line, just going to have to start creating pressure. They're going to have to, I guess, start mixing up some blitz packages or whatnot. Yeah, take some pressure off those DBs, because SMU is going to come with the same attack just like Cal did, just throwing the ball deep, and SMU is known for flying that ball down the field. So,
yeah, they certainly are. And Nathan, to that point about flying down the field, I mean, how do you feel about our current corners? If we've got, you know, CJ Caesar back there, you know, Hodges Tomlinson back there, I mean, how do we feel about our corners matching up against their wide receivers? Oh, you're muted, man.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're good.
Okay, cool. Sorry, I've been trying to figure out these headphones, having audio issues. it honestly depends on how much time they have. Because if they're having to cover for long periods of time, if our D line's not getting pressure, then they're gonna have a field day on our corners. Our D line and our linebackers have to stop the run and then put pressure on them. Their quarterback has to get the ball out quickly. If that's the case, then our corners are very capable of making plays. If it's jump balls, you know, I trust Hodges Tomlinson to go up for it. Our safeties will be able to come down. They won't be able to just kind of put a bunch of moves on our corners, which we'll see how they handle that. But I think if they have too much time, then our corners might struggle. And then also we'll see how the refs call pass interference. So.
Well, I mean, to that point, SMU has not given up, at least I don't believe they've given up a sack yet in their first three games of the season. Now, of course, we always have to preface this, right? I mean, what are the first three games that SMU has played? They've played Abilene Christian, North Texas, and then a close game at Louisiana Tech. And, yep. You know, and neither one of those three teams showed that their front line was particularly dominating of SMU's offensive line. So, you know, Ryan, that seems to be an interesting, I guess, a bright spot, so to speak, when it comes to the TCU defense. But from the offensive side of the ball, what do you want to see, Ryan?
Yeah. Didn't you check the chat?
Oh, I didn't check the chat. There was chat? There's
or
chat.
Your cell phone.
Sorry. Sorry. Ryan's in the process of doing something. I was supposed to not ask her a question. I'm sorry.
You know, these X's and O's questions. I never really played football, but...
Well, this is what... Ryan, I got your back.
I meant Shannon. I said Shannon. That's what I meant.
They would love to see... Let's feed the ball to Evans and let's go ahead and get this running game. Let's power up and get this running game going and be balanced. You know, if we can be balanced, well, we can get the running game going and then, you know, go with a little air attack. Now we understand what air attack means with our quarterback. Okay. I mean, you know, 20, 30 yards down the field at a time. Right. But if we can just be balanced, and here's the most important thing to me, this Saturday playing at 11 o'clock, we don't know what type of team we're going to see that early. We hadn't done that this year. We hadn't played at 11 o'clock this year. So we'll see what type of team we have. What kind of energy you got? I'm a upper kind of guy. No matter what time I get up, my wife, not so much, right? Just she gets going. But anyway, we'll see what we got. But if we can stay, if we can get the defense rested by offenses marching down the field, then maybe we'll see that defense front we're talking about, and our quarterbacks won't have to worry so much. That's what Ryan wants to say.
Well, Nathan, here's a good question for you. So how much up-tempo do you think we're going to see then? Do you think Patterson's going to kind of tap the brakes with Meacham and say, hey, no up-tempo play, let my defense get some rest? Or do you think he's just going to just let Meacham call the game?
I think he'll want to control the pace of the game and try to keep his defense off the field as much as possible and slow it down and let our running backs just kind of grind it out. But we'll see because – I don't know. Like I would like to see that, and I would think that they would, but I also think that they'll have more of a balance. Kind of like sometimes if it's working to change up the tempo, then I mean keep doing it because it keeps their defense on the heels, and so they have to kind of adjust on the fly. And sometimes we don't know if they're going to be that good at that yet against our offense. And so I would like to see us slow it down more, but I never know with Meacham.
Nobody ever does.
Coach Meacham, he does like to go fast, so I think that we might see him butt heads a little bit, and so I don't know.
Yeah, that'll be an interesting one to watch on the sideline. And Jack, let me get you in on this one, because this is an interesting setup. We haven't played SMU in 2 years, and it's one of these kind of games where we've got enough players still on this team that remember that stinging loss from 2 years ago in Fort Worth. And in the past, TCU historically has done fairly well the year after a loss to SMU. How do you think this year matches up, given the fact that we kind of skipped a year with COVID?
No, I think a lot of those kids will remember that ceiling. And, you know, we've had to hear it for 2 years, you know, rather than being able to make amends for it last year. And, you know, it's become, you know, internally it's become that game that you just can't lose. I mean, it just sits there all year until the next time you play them. And I think, you know, you're talking about offense and defense. I think, I hope we come out early and establish the run. I think that says, you know, hey, we're bigger and stronger than you. And of course, with a back like Evans and spelling with, you know, DeMarco and Miller and that, we should be able to run the ball, I think. And then on defense, I think the corners will be fine. But the key to me is, you know, it's already been said, we can't have them just stand back there and throw the ball. I mean, it can't be 7-on-7 in pads. There's got to be a pass rush and forcing them to do some things and, you know, putting him on the ground a few times.
Well, to that end, so we're throwing out words like, you know, or phrases like trap game for this one, right? So we're not overlooking SMU, you think. We think that these guys have been listening to the fact that SMU beat you 2 years ago. They've got the skillet. You guys have to do something to get it back. You think these guys are going to come out fired up at 11 o'clock and want to punch SMU right in the face?
I do. And I think, and Shannon can attest to this, and Nathan, I think they've heard from the great Gary for 2 weeks. And, you know, he just does not want to deal with this again. Sonny being, a colleague. And, SMU has made some strides. There's no doubt. But I think the program wants to say, hey, we're still the man in this Metroplex.
That's a good point.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Definitely. Well, let's talk a little bit, though, about establishing the run versus passing. And I think we've seen a little bit of issues with Max the last few weeks connecting on that deep ball. So how much do y'all think the running game is going to play into the game plan early on in this game? Do you feel like we're going to come out and we're going to scratch our heads? Why is Meacham throwing, every single down to try to get Max established? Or do you think he is going to use Evans more in the beginning?
I personally think he's going to – listen, this is a perfect game to get, bubble screens. Those are basically runs. But it gets Dugan throwing a little bit, right? Then you hit him with, the run. You just establish yourself. But I do believe you got to go right at him. At first down, second down, you go right at him and maybe bubble screen or maybe, some short. But you just have to be dominant up front with the run game. And once you do that, they'll buy in. You'll make SMU adjust to you. And then once they start doing that, now you got that. You can open it up a little bit because now they're crowding the box. But I'm telling you now, if we can establish run early and we can bust them in the mouth and we start hitting 5, 6, 7 yards a pop, I'm telling you, it's gonna do wonders for not just our quarterback, but for the defense. So I think he'll mix it up. I think he's gonna come out. Me personally, and stick to the run game because we saw some good runs. Last couple of games, we've been running the ball well. I think you need to stick to that and don't go away from that. But also, I think, he's going to throw in some underneath screen passes and some shallow, some underneath this real quick because I think if you start trying to match SMU deep ball for deep ball, that's not our game. That shouldn't be the game plan for this team anyway. Because that quarterback has a better arm than we have.
Nathan, I saw you shaking your head up and down in agreement there with Shannon. So if you were Doug Meacham for this game, what would you be agreeing with Shannon's game plan assessment there?
Oh yeah, we got punched in the mouth. It's funny because he was saying that, and for me, I just always hear Coach Meacham, not Coach Meacham, Coach P saying, "Be the hammer, not the nail."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because in those games, that's how we played Texas for the entire time I was there. We were the hammer, they were the nail. We went out and we just hit them
as it should be.
Exactly. But then you get the games where you come out soft, and we kind of did it. We've done it a couple times that I've played SMU where we come out kind of soft and they just kind of seem to want it more. We came out with the game either way, but they're the nail biter games that we always get with SMU where they come out and they kind of hit us in the mouth and, they kind of catch us sleeping, and that's just not the game. We got to start out just coming out, hit them in the mouth, or even if it's hit them out a couple plays and then come out like we did against Ole Miss and just throw a trick play on them and just put it in the end zone. Nothing too fancy, but just something to kind of shake them up and just let them know, hey, we're coming to play this one. It's 11 a.m., but we're going to come to play.
Oh, yeah. Nick, how about you? What do you want to see out of the game plan offensively?
I say we got to protect the Heisman candidate, Max Dugan, and stop running the ball with him so much.
Oh, yeah. I like that idea.
Amen.
Yeah. Although, I tell you what, as much as you and I were complaining about how much he was carrying the ball, especially late in that game against Cal, he certainly sealed the ball game for us. So, that was kind of nice. But yeah, I agree. Protect Max as much as we possibly can, especially when you got this stable of running backs that we've got.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, Jack, let me get you in here from in a historical perspective here between TCU and SMU, because this is a game that a lot of Frog fans nowadays are scratching their heads asking, how much longer do we have to keep scheduling the Mustangs? They didn't get into the Big 12, right? Although we are going to get Cougar High back again, which is, we can go over that in a future time. This game, though, has a lot of significance, not just for the Metroplex, but for TCU itself. So what does this game mean for you specifically, but for TCU as a whole?
Well, I mean, I'm speaking historically, obviously, and you know, when I was at TCU, we were right in the middle of a 11-12 game losing streak, which is hard to even fathom now against those guys. But you know, that was right in the middle of the, you know, the Pony Express and James and Dickerson and mm-hmm. Bobby Collins and Ron Meyer as their coach.
Kind of what it's about to turn back into.
Well, you know, just that,
sorry.
Yeah. You know, where they would come over here and, you know, or we would go over there with the same, they would have the same attitude we've had. Let's just, you know, swat them away and go on to bigger and better things. And it got very old, and it was a, you know, rivalry that had been very close. And then they jumped way ahead. And then, of course, you know, once, I guess, Coach Franchione and, you know, Gary came along, it turned the other way for, you know, a number of years as it is now. But I think there's a, you know, I they've made such a big deal over there about being Dallas's team. And in fact, you go around even in the area of Dallas and you see a sign that said, you know, Pony Up Duncanville. Pony Up DeSoto, Pony Up Garland. You know, they've really tried to reach out to those major suburbs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they text and they tweet a lot of that. And I don't think I've ever seen as many tweets as I did Saturday night after their volleyball team beat our volleyball team. Mm. And it was, you know, liked by coaches over there that I know. I mean, not that that's not important, but you know, they're just all over anything they can do to beat us in anything. I mean, it is so significant mm-hmm. to them. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's some of that is coming out because of their lack of consideration for the Big 12. In fact, they, you know, they're not even a beep on the radar with most people. I mean, it's not even a concern. SMU is not in the fold. And I think that they just, you know, it is just, they are whipped into a frenzy. And, you know, as many of you have already said, we're the better team. We got the better recruits. We've got the better history, recent history, last 20 years. We ought to punch them quick and have a good ball game against them, both sides of the ball.
Amen to that, brother.
Yeah, it's a good perspective. And it is interesting.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a kid that's going to choose them over us.
One,
you know,
hope
if they not. Have NFL aspirations or they want to play in major conference or, you know, that's just the way it is.
Right. Well, and that's a good point. And that's got to be something that drives this game. I mean, this game, you've got two teams that are coming at each other with a long history of – you know, one team being fairly apathetic when it comes to the series over the last decade, and the other team from the outside seems to be, this is their Super Bowl every year, right? But this year seems to be totally different. You've got one team that feels that sting for the last 2 years that we lost to you guys. We are the better team. We knew that we were the better team back then, and we still lost to you guys. And to your point, Jack, on paper, not just on paper, just across the board, TCU should not have a problem beating SMU. Really should not.
Right.
But SMU is playing an emotional game on Saturday because they did get left out of the Big 12. They got left out of the Power 5, this crazy realignment that everybody, this little shuffle that everybody kind of went through all of a sudden because of Texas and OU. And they were not even in the conversation. And then to add insult to injury, freaking Houston was. I mean, that's just, that just you know, blows your mind, right? Yeah. Which goes to show just how inconsequential SMU has become in the landscape of college football, which has got to rub them the wrong way. So they're coming into Fort Worth on Saturday with this massive chip on their shoulder. And you got to imagine that if we give them just one little ounce of sunshine that they can feel like they can stick with us, then that's going to be trouble. But if we come out and just knock them around for the first quarter, I don't see them being able to recover in a highly emotional state. But you know, sure. this is certainly going to be a game that is different than in years past than what we've seen, because I think both teams are coming ready to play and ready to kind of prove something to the other side, and it's going to be interesting to see which one gets out of the gate first.
Yeah.
But like it's already been said, I mean, they're not going to see a running back like Zach or a quarterback who can run like Max or some of the, you know, the guys on the, you know, on the defensive end, Mathis and Carroll. I mean, they're just, you know, they're not going to see those kind of guys the rest of the year. And they haven't seen them up to now.
And no, they haven't.
Basically one, right, and they're basically one prayer away from being 2-1.
Yeah,
that's true. That's true. And it's interesting going back and taking a look at some of the other games. Again, Abilene Christian, North Texas, those games on paper, especially the Abilene Christian game, there wasn't much of a game. But offensively, right, both those teams were able to actually put up some numbers on this defense. They just weren't able to actually find the end zone. Louisiana mm-hmm. Tech was different. They were able to put up numbers both through the air and on the ground against SMU's defense. And had a lot of success against them. And you're right, they were one prayer away from giving SMU their first loss of the season. And it's an interesting thing when you take a look at, you know, this team that's kind of been built up. I think you're right. I think the offensive side of the ball in this game needs to be the one to come out and just be like, you know, we're going to drive down there and we're going to stick a dagger in your heart every single freaking time we get the ball. The defense right. is the one I think is going to be the question mark in the beginning of the game. But as we've seen, even in this defense, it seems to tighten up a bit as the game goes on. And I think that's going to be an interesting thing to look for, especially this 11 mm-hmm. o'clock game with the heat starts pouring on as we get into late second quarter, early third quarter, just to kind of see where the wind is going and how the game is going to end up.
Well, and the TCU deck should be superior. I mean,
definitely.
There should be no doubt that, you know, like the defensive line rotation that Gary uses, I mean, there's probably out of that 8 or 9 that rotates through there, probably about all of them could start for SMU.
Oh, for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
For sure. I'm just sitting here looking at the rosters from these other teams. I'm thinking, you know, they hadn't played anybody. They're about to see a total different atmosphere. They're about to see a total level of football play than what they've seen these last 3 weeks. Because again, you know, I'm thinking what would it be if we played those other three teams? You know, I'm looking at the things we can do really well and what we've already done. And of course, we had the first week was like a bye week. I get it. We didn't, you know, it wasn't the best team that came through and challenged us. And we had some issues. We started out slow. If we can just be consistent, though, if we can understand what this week means, Jack, as you're speaking about the history of it, which they'll talk to them about it. Think about this, guys. There's sophomores and freshmen on this team that hadn't experienced, they hadn't played in 2 years, so they don't even know having the skill it's about. They ain't had it in 2 years. So this is right. a whole new kind of like starting a whole new almost, you know, tradition all over again. So this is where you just kind of say, okay, we're going to take this skillet, we're going to punch him in the mouth, and those guys want us, the youth of our team will understand what that type of this type of atmosphere is about. So now we can keep this thing for another 20, 40 years. So it's a big game. I mean, when I say a big game, it's a big game telling us to let them know, because they're not a rival. They hadn't been a quote unquote rivalry for us. That we got rid of that a long time ago. I think Baylor really became that, or Texas. You know, they not them. Well, now for the last couple of years, they played us pretty well, and they got the skillet back. So it's like it's time to put these stepchildren to bed. It's time to put them to the back where they belong. You know, right. it's time to establish right. that almost like disrespect, because that's how we feel about SMU. They don't, let's be honest, they don't like us and we don't like them. You know, come Saturday, yeah. I'm not going to be talking very nice about SMU. Put these guys to bed, hit them in the mouth. Let's be done with them and let them go back across on the east side where they belong. And let's get on to bigger and better things. Let's get ready for Big 12. That's how it should work.
We need to have Shannon go give that pregame speech.
Yeah. Amen.
Pull Michael Irvin, just get that one.
I don't think there's a whole lot more to add after that, Shannon.
All right. Hey, I'm through talking about it. It's time to go play.
Amen.
Remember how they wore their Dallas their jerseys? Indeed. Remember how it was all new and they had like Dallas on it? And
well, okay,
yeah,
so
exactly.
Yeah, they had like the Dallas City logo on their uniforms.
Yeah.
And that's First of all, that logo as a graphic designer is so freaking tacky.
We can't do it.
It's a terrible, terrible logo. Absolutely terrible logo.
We can't do ours.
No, well, because it's a stupid longhorn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that like the same logo? That's.
And I don't want. Yeah, for those of you who don't know, the city of Fort Worth, where TCU is located, the city of Fort Worth, their logo is the Longhorn because, of course, it's where the West began. Makes perfect sense.
Cowtown.
But you're not going to see the city logo of Waco or Austin or Lubbock. Does Lubbock have a city logo? I'm not going to get into that. You're not going to see that on any of the other uniforms. You know, you're not going to see the city logo on a uniform on a Power 5 conference team.
That's isn't that the same logo that comes with on your water bill when you're in the
Yeah, basically.
I bet half the people in Dallas. I bet half the people in Dallas don't even know that SMU is located in Dallas.
Probably not. Yeah. Water bill or garbage bill?
It's pretty tucked in there.
Yeah.
It's pretty tucked in there.
Yeah. That's bad. Oh, but who wants to live in Dallas anyway? All right, so it's going to be an interesting game. We'll get into our predictions in just a minute. And with predictions, if you guys want to expound upon, you know, what your thoughts are to kind of conclude the game, we'll get into that. But it's the time where we actually get into our letter to the opponent, and actually was able to get this letter slightly before the podcast, so that was a nice change. So, dear opponent SMU. So each week, we the Killer Frogs, and if you go look at killerfrogs.com, which, by the way, Ryan, we actually forgot to put this in the announcement. Killer Frogs has officially joined with Sports Illustrated, and we are now part of their fan nation. So if you go to killerfrogs.com, you'll start to see some of our great writers that we've brought on board. We're starting to actually put together some additional content. And by the way, I explained this on the forum this week because a lot of people didn't realize this was something that had been started actually with the original owners back with Scott and Wes, and kind of got put on the back shelf, unfortunately, when Scott had untimely passed away. And when they approached Ryan, it allowed us an opportunity to kind of get back into this idea of bringing Killer Frogs and bringing original content to everybody. So if you get a chance, go to killerfrogs.com. You'll see our new homepage. You get to read some new content. And we are so happy to be a part of the Sports Illustrated Fan Zone team. Of course, that does not change the forum whatsoever. That was a big question everybody was asking. It's like, well, is this the end of the forum? No, the forum's not going anywhere. The have you seen my specialty license plate forum is not going anywhere. You're going to be able to still get online and discuss TCU athletics with everybody. So just go to killerfrogs.com today and you'll be able to see all that new content. But
yeah,
to that.
And well, I'll add, in fact, you can go to the sports, you know, Killer Frogs Fan Nation, and there's actually a tab on there for the forum directly. So you can get to it from a couple different places. So, yes, check that out daily for sure.
Yeah, it's going to be good. So with that, we present to you our letter to SMU. Dear Mustang fans, welcome to the fort. It's been a couple of years since you made the journey across the Metroplex. Don't let the excitement of getting off the hilltop cloud your memory to bring the iron skillet back to where it belongs. You've had an extra year, but in reality, it wasn't really yours for that extra year. It was just stored at University Park. You barely earned it for 1 year, much less two. You know, the last time you came to the Carter was tough. We understand that to you ponies, the game against TCU each year is when you get dressed up in your Ralph Lauren polos, your Sperry loafers, and head out to your Super Bowl. You came in sporting those sharp Dallas unis, we talked about that earlier, and you played as if it was the only game that mattered, and it showed. The last time, we both had new quarterbacks, but to be fair, Shane Buechele had been in Texas for 2 years and brought some game experience along with him. And our starting quarterback, Max Duggan, was a true freshman from Iowa making his first collegiate start. You know, Max had a decent game that day, but I bet you were shaking in those Sperry loafers when he threw his third touchdown pass of the fourth quarter late in the game. He just didn't have enough for that fourth down pass with under a minute remaining. If only we'd gone for a field goal for the tie, we know Max probably would have pulled this through in overtime. Well, that was yesterday, and as the song goes, yesterday's gone. We had not lost the iron skillet for 7 years until that day. Each one of those years, we earned it. The ponies were like that annoying little brother who just kept showing up year after year, trying to get another little piece of the pie. And finally, it worked. But we were not worried because we knew we'd get the prize skillet back the next year. Then came the pandemic. We didn't even know if we'd play football, and if so, would we get any non-conference games? Finally, it was decided we got one. You. And the skillet was all but back in our possession until COVID canceled it. And you got to hold on to that skillet for one more unearned year. Now, let's talk about the difference in having the iron skillet reside in Fort Worth and not Dallas. You know, in Fort Worth, it's all about Western comfort food. After all, we are where the West begins. In our kitchens, an iron skillet is used as it is intended, all the way from chuck wagon days to today's kitchen. Chicken fried steak, fried chicken, jalapeno cornbread, cowboy hash, biscuits, and even grandma's famous peach cobblers. In Park Cities, we're convinced you're using the skillet for brioche French toast and Wagyu beef. Escargot, not the thought of that, and even used to make your highfalutin gluten-free desserts. Ugh, what the heck? You know, with that Cox School of Business education of yours, you're probably thinking about using the skillet to fry up sushi. Well, you know, Frog fans actually know how to use an iron skillet. And you know, Shane Bouchel's finally left the Hilltop. And yes, you have once again started the season 3-0. Sure, your new quarterback looks promising, but do you know for sure? Max Duggan, or Max Thuggan, as we sometimes call him, is no longer a freshman. He's grown into a quarterback who's going to take us places. And now he has the extra help of beasts like Zach Evans and Quentin Johnston to help him. So Mustang fans, we hope you enjoy the skillet, but it's time to clean it up, season it properly, the way an iron skillet's supposed to be, pack it in your Range Rover, and bring it on home to the fort. We'll see you and the skillet on Saturday at the Carter. Go Frogs.
Woo!
Awesome. Awesome.
What a rider.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Well, you can read more from our new writer, like I said, by going to killerfrogs.com and go check out his latest missives. He's also doing, he's doing power rankings too this week. That was a fun one.
Right now, Barry is doing everything. So we have a couple new writers coming on. Well, Nick's one of them, actually. And then we've got Adam Shirley joining us for this week. So and I'll be contributing a little bit, but yeah, it's coming along. It's going to be a great thing.
So. Oh, it's a lot of fun. Well, with that, let's end the podcast with our predictions for the SMU game. And so, of course, for those of you who haven't heard us in the past, every week you can go on to killerfrogs.com, go to the forum, and we have a prediction thread up. Right now it's probably about 4 or 5 pages long, but you can go in there, throw in your prediction and kind of get that going. But for tonight, let's go ahead and start off. Nick, what is your prediction for the SMU game?
As far as score-wise?
Yeah, score. Yeah.
The ponies, it's like having a V6 Mustang. It's not a 5.0, so.
Well, it is called a pony, so.
Yeah. True that. So
I give it TCU 30 to 21.
30 to 21. Oh. So, yeah. We're thinking close game. All right. Ryan, how about you?
Well, I'm going to go with 37-21.
37-21. Okay. Are we thinking late score by SMU, or are we thinking kind of like a neck and neck until the fourth quarter kind of a thing?
I think it's going to be neck and neck. Yeah. I mean, okay. I think we're going to lead the whole game. I don't think we're ever really going to feel like we're going to lose, but I do think it's going to be close.
Interesting point. Nathan, how about you?
So I actually drive a Mustang. But it's a
what color is it?
It's a navy blue, Cowboys. But it's a manual, so it can't ever get stolen in today's generation.
There you go.
So I'll give them a little more offensive power. Unfortunately, I think it's gonna be a close game the whole time, but I will go 38-31 TCU.
38-31 TCU. Okay. All right, that'll work. Shannon.
I guess you guys didn't hear me when I spoke earlier about what we needed to do. And my attitude is totally different. I don't want a close game. I'm not talking about no close game. We have to establish ourselves as a powerful football club and show the world we mean business. 47-14, and they get points late. They get points late only because we're going to start rotating people in. They're going to get some luck there at the end. We mean business. We got to establish ourselves. It's time to win big.
I love it.
Wow, that is a surprise. The defensive guy on the board is calling a defensive game.
We're going to have Texas shaking in their shoes before they come into
the Thomason takes one to the house.
Yeah.
I love that. That would be awesome to see. That would be really good. All right, Jack, how about you?
38-14.
Okay, another one of those. There you know, go. It's going to be a defensive game. And all right. I like that. Earlier on, go ahead, Jack.
I think you'll see a defensive touchdown or – you know, maybe even one of the backup quarterbacks late, put one in there.
Nice. I certainly hope you guys are right. In fact, I'm kind of calling a similar game. Now, to go back to Nathan's point, I too have owned and currently own a Mustang. So my wife and I both, after we got out of TCU, we both bought his and her Mustangs. And I had to sell mine to get the house after we got pregnant. But my wife still has hers. Unfortunately, it doesn't have an engine in it, which I'm hoping is similar to SMU when they come into town on Saturday. So we'll see how that goes. Unfortunately, I do think, though, that SMU's offense will actually find some success, but I think it'll be fairly early on in this game. I'm going to call Frogs 45 and SMU anywhere between 28 and 31 points. And like I said, I think a lot of that's going to be kind of early on. I do agree. I think the defense is going to actually score in this particular game. And maybe a punt return by the Frogs as well.
Oh, that would be so exciting.
Yeah. Like we usually have one against SMU.
Usually. I'll be honest with you. I honestly hope we do get a punt from SMU and they don't fake it every single time.
I need to fix my math because I obviously can't count on my fingers very well. It's 38. We're not going to miss the extra point. So mine's 38.
Whatever. 38, not 37. Got it.
21, yeah.
All right, 38-21. Yeah, it's all pretty. We're all kind of in that area. And
Perry was at 38 points.
Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be good. I think it's going to be interesting to see how things work out. So we all picked the Frogs to win. That's not as big of a surprise. It's just going to be interesting to see whether or not it's that kind of close game that some of us are calling, or if we're going to, you know, I like Shannon's score. I tell you what, of all of our scores, if Shannon's right, I will be the happy man on Saturday.
Won't we all?
I will be very happy.
Shannon, if you're right, you're going to take us out to lunch.
Yeah.
Hey, man. Listen, well, we're going to be having lunch at the stadium.
Yeah, well, that's great.
Exactly.
Yep. Come on by the tailgate.
Breakfast and lunch.
Get an early dinner, like 4 o'clock.
It's all good. It's all good, especially when TCU wins on Saturday and we get the skillet back where it belongs.
Yes,
so,
sir.
With that, we've come to the end of the podcast. I want to thank everybody out there who's listening to us. Of course, you can find the Killer Frogs podcast on iTunes and Google Play and Stitcher. And, of course, you can always go to killerfrogs.com. You can find the podcast there as well as all of our new original content. And, of course, you'll find the link to our Killer Frogs forum. The Frog Fan Forum's been up since 1997. It's a great way to just lower your productivity throughout the day as you discuss TCU athletics with everybody. And of course, you can find Killer Frog, excuse me, on all the major social media networks. As Ryan was saying, join us on our Facebook page and go check us out on Twitter. Nick is doing an awesome job, especially during game day. So go and check him out. We will be coming back to you on Saturday from the actual stadium. We'll have play by play and press box coverage during the game in the forum. Shannon will be bringing us a wonderful halftime show, and Nick will be taking care of Twitter, and I think we've got Iman actually doing some sideline stuff, so that'll be a lot of fun. So check us out on Saturday, and of course with that, it's the time where we all get our frogs up and we get to say
go frogs.
Go frogs.